Oh, man, it's been a rough week. Don't seem like I can get a break from nothing no more. But hey, Lord knows what he's doing. I don't.
All right. Can you hear me? Well, tonight I just want to read some verses of scripture tonight. You know, we've heard a whole lot here lately about what's wrong with this country. We've heard all the people's opinion about what's wrong with it. And I've stated my own opinion. But when it really gets down to it, our opinion really does not mean anything. Because we need to look at it in the way that different ones in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, the way that they serve the Lord. And you know, over here in verse, let's see, which is in Luke chapter 22, yeah. Luke chapter 22. And it's going, you know, it just don't stay right here in these few verses right here in 32. I mean, excuse me, 22 and verses 31. Verses 31 down through 34, we're going to see where what the Lord allows Satan and his serpent and his followers of today, what he will allow them to do. And I think he allows it to happen to try our faith, individuals' faith. But it says right here, I'm going to go back up to verse 28, and I'm going to read Psalm 28 and read down through. It says, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and set on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. What he's talking about right here, he's talking about his kingdom, and he's talking about that we can realize that the kingdom that he's talking about is the same kingdom that we need to look to, and we need to pray for. We're not supposed to be able to build up the house of worship down here. We are supposed to be building up the kingdom of God, His kingdom. But He also tells us not only is His kingdom, but that one day it's going to be our kingdom also. And it tells us in verse 30, it says, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 29 says, and I appointed unto you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me. With that in mind, I believe that what He's trying to say to each one of us tonight, through His Word, and not just tonight, in the days to come, the year to come, the years to come, or whatever, that we need to focus on nothing else but that kingdom. We're trying our very best to build up the house of prayer. And which, don't get me wrong, that He wants us to do that. He wants us to do that. But that's not the main focus we need to put our faith in. We need to look at it that we, as each and every individual that we win to the Lord, that we can add them to the church daily. And as they're added to the church daily, then we can not say, well, Lord, I thank you for saving that individual. And I thank you for allowing them to be able to come and join Faith Baptist Church. Oh, yes, I'd love for that to happen. But after they come, or even after they get saved in the world or whatever, or if they come into the house of God and they walk the aisle and they want to get saved and they want to bow their head and ask the Lord to save their soul, all that's good. But unless they're going to just profess it, and that's it, they still don't have nothing. When you profess to be a Christian, when you profess to be saved, when you come and make that profession unto the Lord and ask Him to save you, you need to take Him and His Word to go about doing what His Word has asked you to do. So, profession without possession is nothing. The same way that you can go out here and you can say, well, you can play the, I mean, we have people today that can play the role of a church member. How many people that you know of that you know that can come to the house of God and that can come in and yes, and they can sing. They can see sing the songs of Zion. They can testify to the fact that maybe the Lord saved them. But if that's all they're going to do, they're still not possessing anything. Yes, they've made a profession, but hey, just like I said, profession without possession, you have nothing. Possession without profession is none either. And we see that. We see where people today, and don't get me wrong, I pray to the Lord that I have not. But I'm human, I make mistakes. And if I sat here, if I stood here right here today and told you that I do not make mistakes because I have the Word of God, then you have the right to speak up right then and say, "Well, preacher, I'm sorry. But that's not what my Bible says." See, we, and I know in God's Word, even in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, we have the word perfect in there. But we have to look at the way that word is used. The word perfect in God's Word means mature, maturity, how much we have grown in the Lord. And if we have not grown any, we are not mature in the Lord. So we cannot even say that we are perfect. Because there is not but one that we know what the word perfect really means, when it makes no mistakes or anything. And that's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no sin. He knew no sin. But you've got to be prepared to answer the question to the people. Because they're going to come back and they're going to ask you. Well, say, well, if he knew no sin, and if he had no sin, why did he die on the cross? And they say, then they come up and they say, well, why did the, was it 3.5, 4 hours, or whatever time was there, when it was complete darkness? They'll ask, hey, they know Scripture, but they don't understand what it's saying. But they need to be aware that they need to be able to explain what people are saying and what people are asking. But we'll see down here in verse 31, it says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon. Now the Lord could have said just, the Lord said, was, he could have said just Simon. Simon, behold, Satan. But no, he said, Simon, Simon. What the Lord wanted to do, the Lord wanted to get Simon's attention. You remember when your children was growing up and you wanted them to listen to you and what you had to say? Or if you was trying, calling them to do this and that, and the first time they wouldn't answer you? What would you do? You'd come back and you'd say the name again. But the second time it would be a little louder. I believe that was the Lord right here. And the Lord said, Simon. The first time he mentioned Simon, he didn't get Simon's attention. But he said, Simon. And I believe what he was saying is, Simon, now I want your attention. I want you to listen to what I'm having to say. Saying, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I'm going to read it this way. And the Lord said, Donnie, behold, Satan has come to me. And he has desired to have you. He has desired to attack you. He's had a desire to get you to fall. Has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat, that he may say, Donnie, you know, I know what you believe, and I know that you believe in the King James Bible. That's the only thing you've ever preached out of. I know that. But you know today that the reason the churches are not growing, the reason the people, you cannot get the people come into the church and they won't walk the aisle and they won't get saved. Now this is Satan speaking. Satan said, the reason that's happening is because what you have read, they don't understand it. They just don't understand it. Well, guess what? They're not going to understand it. That's just like a young child turning 5 or 6 years old, or 7, 8, or whatever year they got to be now to start school. Well, if they don't start school, they ain't going to have no friends. If they don't start school, they ain't going to know how to read. If they don't start school, they ain't going to know how to print or write or whatever, which they don't do that anymore anyhow. I understand it, but that's another story. But if the individual is not willing to make the next step in saying, hey, Johnny, 2 weeks, school starts. You're going to have to go to school. And he starts a whimpering, he starts a crying. And then you say, and it does, it'll break your heart. It will. But we've got to learn that as it breaks our heart, that we're looking after them, and we're looking after the being. We're looking after their character. We're looking after them as individuals that can go out and be able to function within society. And if they don't go to school, then what are they going to be? What are they going to end up being? They're going to end up being what a whole lot of people today, and they will call them. I mean, other children, they're cruel, but they don't mean to be cruel. They don't mean to be cruel. They just don't know any other way. They haven't been taught the right way. But see, the parents had not taught them. The parents had not disciplined them to the point that, yes, when it comes to the time to go to school, they don't want to go. They don't want to go. They haven't been with mama at home for what, 4 or 5 years? Doing what they want to do and get up in the morning when they want to get up, go turn the TV on, watch the cartoons they want to watch, and do this and that? Yes. But the routine is about to change. That's just like a Christian. That's just like a new convert. When somebody comes and they come down and walk down the aisle, and then they may say preacher, or maybe somebody else will come down with them and start praying with them, and they'll say, I want to get saved. Yes, that's good. But we don't need to stop with just that. And reading in the wrong road in John 3:16 and other verses in the Bible. And then allow them to pray the sinner's prayer. And ask the Lord God to save them. Because they could not do nothing within themselves. They tried everything, and they couldn't get nothing else done. And they'd live a miserable life. We can see all of that. But have we said enough? No. I believe, too, before we get up from, we need to ask them to pray also that they need to say, I just want to thank you, Lord, for saving my soul and you keeping me out of a devil's hell. But now I'm asking you, would you please be the Lord of my life? And what we're saying, will you please be the Lord of my life? We are saying, Lord, I love you with all my heart. And I don't want to do anything to hurt you, to hurt your work. And I don't want to hurt nobody else. Would you please be the Lord of my life? And then I believe that's when people will fall in love with Jesus. I believe it was Sunday, sometime morning, night, one or the other. I may have mentioned it. I don't know if I did or not. But if I did, I apologize for restating it again. But when I met my wife, first time we'd ever seen each other. And I went in church. I was just as lost as that rattlesnake I hear is. But in saying that, it was something that it touched me. Not just me meeting her, but within her in a family. I mean, you have people always, they'll always tease you and they'll kid you, say, well, yeah, I bet you, when you brought her back home at night and everything, I bet her mama was standing at the door with a double barrel shotgun. No. Nope. I can say this today. I couldn't say it then. But I believe I can say this with all sincerity, all honesty. Once we left that house, she went in there in her bedroom. She got beside that bed and she prayed for me. I don't doubt that one bit, because of the individual she was, any Christian she was. And I thank the Lord for that. But He wants to sift us. He wants somebody to sift us. I'm going to ask all of you a question. You can raise your hand if you want to. If you don't want to, that's fine. But I think I can just about say that. Did y'all agree with me? But since you have been here, Faith Baptist Church, you've had some good times here over the years, haven't you? You've had some trying times over the years here. But let me ask you something. Out of the two, which has made you stronger? A stronger Christian? The blessed times or the trying times? It's the trying times. Because that's when the people that love God, that's when they can come, that's when they want to come together. Whether the whole church will come together, may not. But as long as you've got a handful of people that want to come together and look up toward heaven, and touch the hem of His garment there in heaven, our faith is built up because of that. It's not built up because He's blessed us. Oh yes, He's blessed us. It ain't but, what, 7 or 8 of us here tonight. But just think about it. If we wasn't here tonight, who would be here? Nobody. Even the Lord wouldn't even be here. The lights wouldn't even be turned on. The Holy Spirit wouldn't be, because the lights and the electrical part of this building represents the Holy Spirit. Wouldn't be here. The lights would be off. The doors would be locked. The parking lot would be empty. Would that be a good testimony for the church? Would it? I don't think it is. I know we may not have that many people, and we may not have that many cars like that. Maybe 3 or 4 cars like that. But at least we have somebody here. At least the doors are open that if anybody wants to come in, they can come in. And where I think that everything is fell apart at, started back in the 50s. Then went on into the 60s, and it started falling apart when you had to start going and locking the door of the church house. You would not believe it. I know of a church right now. Within probably 8-10 miles from this church, the doors are never locked. He said, I'm not going to lock these doors. And that's what the pastor said. They never locked the door. That's few and far between. The churches in the country. What are they saying? They're saying, you come on in, you're invited. You're invited to the house of God. Because even though you take a sinner, one that has never professed the Lord, you take a drunkard. If that drunkard is out here, and if that drunkard goes up, and he goes in, can be able to come into the church house. He can feel a presence there. He can feel something else there besides himself. Because, you know, God, that's what God is in the business of. Saving souls. And we never know the one that next soul is going to be. It could be right here. They could walk in our church this coming Sunday. And as they walk in, they can hear the word of God and they can come down. And they can say, preacher or sister or who's down there wouldn't be praying for them. They get saved. That could be The last one, that is the last thing that the bride has to put on. Now, I'm trying to go back and kind of remembering things and everything, but when a bride and a bridegroom, when they get married, the bridegroom comes out and the bridegroom stands down front to receive his future bride. Now, as he receives his future bride, he hasn't seen her. since the day before or whenever, some, they don't even, that, I mean, today I don't even, what all they do anything today. But they were gone and they would put on that white dress and white gown that speaks of purity. Majority of them today, they just might as well just go on and, I think, instead of wearing a white or a beige, they need to go on and wear a black. But the gown needs to represent purity. And that's what God is. God is pure. God is pure. And we need to be the same way. But when that bride is in that back, in that room back out, to put the gown on, to put the garter belts on and all that, and to put the, and then got her shoes on and got dressed out and all decked out and everything. But before she leaves that room, there's one other thing she has to do before she can go and stand in front of her bridegroom. She got to put the veil on. The veil. Which we know that God's Word mentions something about the veil, where the veil was not rent. It was not ripped from the bottom up. It was ripped from the top down. But then she comes down. She's got that veil on. And she's got it pulled over her face. And then she comes up. Stands right beside her bridegroom. And then sometimes they will say, or the preacher will say, or minister will say, who gives this couple in marriage? Or who gives this bride in marriage? And the mother and the father speak up and say, we do, the mother and the father. See, that's what the Lord is telling us right here in verse 32, and I'm going to close with this verse right here. It says, but I, have done this for thee. Is that it? Is that what it says? Nope. But I have prayed for thee. You know they're speaking, don't you? That's the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. He's speaking and says, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You would think it would say that what he's talking about right here, when an individual gets saved, that he would be, that it means he'd go ahead and be strengthened his brother. But see, that's not what it means. But I have prayed for thee, the Lord, Jesus Christ, is praying for each one of us. That thy faith fail not. Why? Because of what Satan's been trying to do. He's been trying to separate us from the Word of God. He's been trying to separate us from fellowship with one with another. He's been trying to trying to get us to not listen to what the Word of God is saying to us. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When thou art converted, that does not mean that being converted from the old life, the sinful life, unto what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying. What he's saying right here, I believe, and I think this is right, is that where we will not turn our back on one another, where we will not turn our back on the people like here. Because at one time, I was that individual. At one time, I was in the shape that they was in. At one time, I was doomed for hell. At one time, I knew nothing. I had no consciousness of nothing. Just of what the consciousness of what the devil had given me. But telling us that our faith, what the Lord is telling us, he said, I don't want your faith to waver one bit. I want you to become strong in me. Because you're going to need it. You may not need it today. You may not need it tomorrow. But you're going to need it more and more and more each day. That's just like His grace. His grace is what? Sufficient? For the time that we're living in, it's sufficient for the hour that we're in, it's sufficient for the minute that we're in. It's sufficient for us to turn to Him and not just say, Lord, I have a request. You know what that request is all about. Yes, He does. He knows everything. He knows the request that we're going to come up with and we're going to present before the church this coming Sunday. He's an all-knowing God. He's an all-present God. He is everywhere. But He wants us to name Him. To name Him. And I think that's one thing that Christians we've lacked in doing, especially on the prayer meeting evenings, the nights. We need to start naming people. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for this afternoon. Father, we thank you for thy presence. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that what was said from these lips of clay tonight, where you spoke through, but Father, that you've given me to speak tonight. Yes, Father, I know, Lord, that I cannot speak it in the way that you speak it. So, Father, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you will go and you'll touch the hearts of the people. Lord Jesus, we just want to thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you from where you brought us from. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the faith that, Father, that we need to pray that our faith becomes strengthened day by day, to where we can be able to go out and strengthen our brothers and our sisters in the Lord. Because, Father, so many of them are weak today. Lord, yes, sometimes I get weak. But I'm so thankful when you speak to me, Father. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you just be with each one tonight as they go their separate ways, go back to their home. We ask, Lord, that you give them a good night's rest tonight and tomorrow, Father, as they get up tomorrow. Lord, that you will place a name upon the heart. Father, nothing else that they can be able just to give them a call. And just tell them that they've just been thinking about them. And Lord Jesus, we know that you're gonna do what you said in your word you do. I don't have no doubt about that. But Father, it just seems it's getting longer and longer. But I know, Father, when it happens, oh Lord, it's going to be, I may have a weak leg, and I may have a painful shoulder right now, Lord. But I believe, Father, that you can give me the strength, Father, just to go out these doors, Father, and just let the people know how much we love you, Father. Father, we want to thank you. We want to love you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.